Grace, mercy, and peace be with all of you here this day from our triune God. Amen. So let me ask you, how many of you here this morning recognize the name Ron Wayne? Anybody recognize that name, Ron Wayne? Doesn't surprise me that if you don't recognize that name. But what if I were to tell you that Ron Wayne happened to be one of the founders of Apple Computer? He was one of the founders together with Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak. Now, Wayne helped to start this fledgling computer company back in its early days, and actually was the one who designed the famous Apple logo. But back then, Wayne owned about 10% of the company, while Jobs and Wozniak each owned 45%. However, Wayne decided to sell his share in the company just 12 days after its founding, fearing that he would end up being liable for part of a $15,000 startup loan that the company had made, and was worried what would happen if the company went belly up. And so he received a grand total of $800 for his share in Apple Computer. Of course, as we all know, Apple succeeded. And if Ron Wayne had just simply held on to his 10% stake in that company, he would now be worth somewhere in the neighborhood of $37 billion. So do you think that he had any regrets? Well, in this morning's gospel reading from Luke, Jesus tells us the story here about a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. The man whose name we are not given in the story dies and is buried, and he finds himself in Hades being tormented. So do you think that he had any regrets? Well, Jesus implies here in this parable that he does. But none of his regrets, it would seem, revolve around poor business decisions or missed financial opportunities. He doesn't say anywhere here how I should have held on to my 10% stake in that olive grove. Now, the rich man's regrets seem to go in a completely different direction, one that matches, I think, a trend that we are seeing more and more of these days. Now, Bonnie Ware, who is a nurse in Australia and who specializes in the care of terminally ill patients, has written a book where she has recorded five of the most common regrets that are shared by those who are dying. And guess what? There is no mention here about any missed business deals either. Also, there is no regrets about missed skydiving opportunities, nor even about marriage, despite the many jokes that are linked to regrets about the choice of one's spouse. No, the top five regrets that she discovered were these. Number five, I wish that I had allowed myself to be happier. Many of her patients admitted that they feared change in their lives, so they pretended that they were simply content with the way things were. And in fact, more than half of them said that they wished that they had laughed more or allowed themselves to be sillier. Number four, I wish that I had stayed in touch with my friends. Again, many of her patients at the end of their lives felt badly that they were so caught up in their own issues that they had let important friendships just slip away. Number three, I wish that I had the courage to express my feelings better. Many said to her that they had suppressed their feelings in order to keep peace with others. Number two, I wish that I hadn't worked so hard. This regret, by the way, was expressed by every single male patient that she had. Every single one of them said this. And the number one big regret that she discovered, I wish that I had had the courage to live a life true to myself and not the life that others expected of me. This by far was the most common regret of all. Most of those that she talked with had not honored even half of their dreams. And now, as they were facing death, knew that it was due to the choices that they had made or not made in life. So do any of these big regrets ring true for any of you here this morning? What would you regret if this was your last day on earth? Well, Jesus tells us that this rich man was not alone in his life, nor was he alone in his death. At the gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. Now, Lazarus may have had some regrets in life too, but probably none of those regrets included, I wish that I had let myself be happier. The life of Lazarus was, in the words of philosopher Thomas Hobbes, solitary, poor, nasty, brutish, and short. For Lazarus, happiness was not a choice. It was a scrap that fell from the rich man's table, that scrap that never came. Jesus goes on then to tell us that the poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham, and the rich man also died and was buried. And it's here in the story now where we begin to get a sense of the rich man's regrets. Regret number one, I wish that I had taken the time and effort to care for the people around me. The poor man, Lazarus, was lying there at his gate, and he was covered with sores. And every single day, the rich man had to either step over or around him each time that he left his home or returned back to it. Even to the point where he became invisible. Regret number two, I wish that I had listened to Moses and the prophets. The rich man realizes now in death that he had not paid enough attention to the word of God as it came to him through Moses. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Or heeded the prophet Isaiah, who commanded of us, share your bread with the hungry, bring the homeless poor into your house. Regret number three, I wish that I had had the courage to live a life true to myself and not the life that others expected of me. Once again, every single day the rich man had ignored poor Lazarus, fully aware of the teachings of Moses and the prophets. But he didn't have the courage to live a life of integrity, one in which his actions were in line with what he observed and with what he believed. In fact, the rich man had seen the poor man, and he knew that Moses and the prophets commanded him to help others. But he had chosen not to do so. The rich man had fallen into a trap that I think is often one set by those around us who want to blame the poor for their poverty, insisting that they must simply be lazy or somehow morally lacking in some way. You can almost imagine them sitting around that rich man's table and saying, God rewards goodness, and punishes wickedness. It's always been that way. So don't feel guilty about your lifestyle. Dress lavishly, eat sumptuously, because you really do deserve it. However, now that he is in Hades, the rich man has some big regrets. So he says to Abraham, I beg you to send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, so that they will not also come into this place of torment. It would then seem that the rich man at least cares deeply for his brothers, so he is not a man completely without feelings. But Abraham reminds him that they have Moses and the prophets, and that they should listen to them. The rich man, of course, now realizes this as well. But Moses and the prophets were not enough for him. And so he pleads, no, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. Surely they will turn their lives around if dead Lazarus suddenly comes back to life and warns them. However, Abraham says to him, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, then neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead. So here we are. This morning, Abraham is talking right here to us, right along with the rich man and with his brothers. So are we convinced? Are we persuaded to change our ways if someone actually rises from the dead? Jesus has risen from the dead, but many of us still have some big regrets. Now let me be clear about this. None of us are perfect. And many of us come to the end of life feeling that we have made a few mistakes along the way. There are choices that we feel badly about, perhaps alongside some of those opportunities that we wish we had seized upon. But what would it mean for us then to die with no regrets? The top three regrets of that rich man can perhaps maybe teach us the lessons that we need to learn as well. We don't want to arrive at our deathbed saying, I wish that I had cared for the people around me more. I wish that I had listened to Moses and the prophets and Jesus. I wish that I had had the courage to live a life true to myself in which my actions were in line with my beliefs. So this morning, we're not yet in the afterlife calling out to Father Abraham. We're not stuck in a place of regretting that we didn't do enough, that we could have done more, that we didn't choose wisely, that we didn't have enough time. As long as we're breathing, we can still choose to care for the people living around us, to listen to the teachings in the Bible, and to live a life that is true to our deepest convictions. Our choices don't have to be large in order for them to be life-changing. The rich man here in this morning's story could have simply shared just some of his food with Lazarus in order to care for the people around him. Yes, hunger, even here in this country, cannot be eliminated without certain broad institutional initiatives. That's why we do the crop walk every year. That's why we have such things as school lunch programs and community food sites and hot meals being served to the homeless. These efforts bring together the haves and the have-nots in places where relationships can develop. And so hunger here in this country might not be eliminated without these kind of programs, but a hungry person in our community can still be fed with a single sandwich, one person at a time. therefore putting our actions in line then with our beliefs. In other words, living our lives with integrity is a change that we can all make, one choice at a time. And the result will be a life that we won't regret. Amen.